should be done, but they didn't tell me what time tonight. But I know what time I'll stop when the Spirit says stop, right? It's unfortunate sometimes we try to fill the time in, and then after the Spirit gives us something, then we begin to give our own messages. I'd like to read a very familiar portion of God's Word this evening. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Pardon me, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke 15. Reading at verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake unto them this parable, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he findeth it? And when he findeth it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when he hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion in him, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this thy son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh into the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hast devoured of thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is mine. It was meet that he should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost, and is found. I'm sure the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own most precious word. So we just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for our coming together, and we thank you for your word, which is yea and amen. We pray that tonight your Holy Spirit will grant liberty and understanding, and that indeed thou, our glorified Lord, will be lifted high to the gaze of dying men and women. And indeed thou who didst say, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Bless your word. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. In this portion that we have read together, we're going to consider it. And there are three things that come up in the portion we're going to look at. It's three lost things. Three lost things. The first one was the lost sheep. And we're going to see certain things about these three lost things. First, we have the lost sheep. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? Until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. For when he cometh home, he calleth together all friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The lost sheep. We're going to look a little bit this evening about sheep. I'm given to understand that there are certain things about animals that seem to be very, very unique and wonderful. The dog, by the way, is not the most sensitive or sensible of all the animals. I'm given to understand that the horse is much more sensible than even your dog. And you know how much they're using dogs today, even in the police force, in the narcotic trade, in customs department, or with different things that they can do with dogs. And yet, the dog isn't the most sensible of them. But when it comes to the sheep, I'm given to understand that the sheep is the most stupid animal. It is said that if you have a flock of sheep going along and you want to do something fascinating, you put a stick across. The shepherd would take his stick and he'd put it across that flock of sheep that's coming. And the first sheep would come and it tries to go on, and no, it can't. There's nothing it could do about it. Would jump over. So the next one comes and he also would jump over, and so on. And then you take the rod away. And strange enough, they tell me that every sheep coming by, as it gets to that point, it starts jumping over. There's no rod there, but it keeps jumping over. And that would just tell us that, you know, sheep are very stupid. And surprisingly, the Bible tells us that man, you and I, are likened unto the sheep. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And in our story here, we have something else about the sheep. And this picture we have is the shepherd who brings his sheep in. And alas, this day, this evening, as he comes in, and he's bringing the sheep into the sheepfold, and he begins to number them off as a good shepherd does. He goes on 1, 2, 3, up to 90, 1, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, then 98 and 99, and alas, that's all. He has found that there's one sheep missing. And you know, like a shepherd, he knows the name of all his sheep. And he finds out it's that little baby lamb, who's not very old, is missing. What happened? Well, it would seem that this little sheep one day, this day, wandered off from the flock. And it had wandered off, and because it lacked all sense of direction, it just couldn't find its way back to the fold. And so it kept wandering and wandering and wandering. And when the evening hour came and the shepherd took his sheep home, this one little sheep was left out. The Lord who gave the story told that the shepherd did what? He left the 99 and he went after this sheep. And the picture we would gather from this story that the Lord Jesus Christ told was that this little sheep wandering, bleating its heart out, trying to find its way back, but alas, having no sense of direction, it just couldn't find its way home. And then eventually the shepherd heard, as the evening was lengthening and the shadows are falling, the shepherd heard the bleating of this little lamb in the distance. He wended his way there, and finally he saw the little lamb on the edge of the precipice where it had wandered and been caught in the thicket. And then that shepherd, the picture we would gather if we would use our imagination, is that the shepherd reached out and in tender love, in all of the work of a good shepherd, with all the love he had, he reached down and he picked up that little sheep and he put him on his shoulder. And the story our Lord told says that he brought him home safely to the fold, and he called his neighbors to rejoice with him because the sheep that was lost is found. And as our Lord told this, he went on to use this as an illustration, because he says there shall be joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that has been found. And so we find here a picture of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Savior. He's going after the lost sheep, the sheep that has no sense of direction. As we said, the scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to our own way. And what do we find? Men and women all over the world trying to find a way back to God. But alas, they're lost and they keep going away from God. They've tried all manner of things, but they'll never, by their own efforts, find their way back to God. But we thank Him this evening that here with us is our Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And He went out, as we often sing, on the mountain wild, tattered and torn. Beloved, this evening He not only got scratched and torn, but here, as we have the picture of this Good Shepherd going after the sheep, He risked His life for the sheep. But the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, He not only risked His life, but He gave His life for the sheep. He gave His life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life, no man taketh it away from me. And the picture we have here is a beautiful one, I suggest to you. The Lord says the shepherd picks up that sheep and He puts him on his shoulder. And that would give a picture of the eternal security of that person which is in Jesus Christ. No, make no mistake, my beloved, if you're here and you know and love the Lord Jesus, you have trusted Him as your Savior, you've committed your life to Him, you realize your lost condition. And when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the picture here is that He places you on His shoulders, the place of strength, the place of security, and He brings him home to the fold. And I say this evening, this is a picture of what Jesus Christ has done for you and I who know and love Him and have trusted Him as Savior. There we are in His strong arms. He says, my sheep I gather, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My friend, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all your efforts you're making, all the things you're trying to do, you'll never make it. For God has a way. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here we have a picture of the lost sheep, straying. We'll never find it. We'll never make it. Oh, men and women are trying to make it on their own. They're trying to pull up their own bootstraps, but they'll never do it. Because if there was one person in this meeting tonight, or in all the world for that matter, that could do it on their own, then Jesus Christ would have not had to go to Calvary. He wouldn't have had to die on Calvary, but it's because you couldn't make it. It's because we couldn't do it on our own. Why he went all the way to Calvary. There we see him in tender love. And I want to say something as we pass on, that he cares not only on the thronging multitudes that followed him, that he gave the fish and the bread, but he cares for the individual, as we've seen from this. God cares. He cares so much that he gave Jesus Christ, who loved you, made bare his bosom, so that he could redeem you as an individual. Jesus Christ is interested in individuals. He was interested in the woman at the well, a most unlovely individual. But we hear him saying, I must needs go through Jericho, because there was one woman whom he had to come in contact with. And tonight, as an individual, if you're here, Jesus Christ wants to do a work for you in your life. Now, there's something that I'd like to mention to you in passing now about the sheep. And if I were to ask a question tonight, do you think that that little sheep knew that it was lost? The answer would readily be yes. The fact is that it was bleating its little heart out, and the fact that it had grown late and it had completely lost out on the other members of the herd, it realized its lost condition, but it was trying its very best. But he could not find his way home. And so the sheep knew that it was lost. Maybe there are those here this evening who are not saved, who have never trusted Jesus Christ, and you're aware of the fact that you're lost. Well, may I suggest to you this evening that Jesus Christ is here with outstretched arms, and he's saying, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We must hurry on. The second lost thing is the lost coin. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she shall lose one piece of silver, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the place, the piece which I have lost. The lost coin. Can you picture this lady now? She has these pieces of coins, and whether she was changing her pocketbook or whatsoever, the fact is she lost one piece. And that one piece, use our imagination, we can see it rolling now, and it's rolling and rolling until it loses momentum and then it falls. And that's where it is. That's where it's at. It's lost. As far as that woman is concerned, it's lost. But the question now, do you think the coin knew that it was lost? I think not. It was not aware of its lost condition, but the fact still remains that it was lost. As far as the woman was concerned, she couldn't spend it. It was of no use to her because it was lost. But as far as the coin is concerned, it was unaware because it's inanimate. It didn't know it was lost. And may I suggest to you this evening, my friends, that there may be some like this coin who is lost to God. But alas, unlike the sheep that was aware of its lost condition, you're not aware of being lost. You talk to some people and they say, no, me, oh no, I'm not lost. I don't believe that a good God who made heaven and earth would really make me and send me to hell. No, I can't believe that. I don't believe I'm lost. But the fact is, the coin was lost. And if you're here this evening and you know not Jesus Christ the Savior, the Bible says that you are lost. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those who do not believe will perish. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so, regardless of what you think this evening, regardless of where you do not believe that you are lost. The Bible says so. But blessed be God, He loves you just the same. And here, as this woman lit the candle and started seeking and looking, oh, what a beautiful picture we have of the Holy Spirit. The one whose work in the world today, the Bible says, is to convict and convince men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, and that is what moves within you. Now, I do know that the Holy Spirit comes into the life the moment the believer says yes. But the first work of the Holy Spirit in the world is to convict and to convince men and women sin and unrighteousness to come. And so we find that God the Holy Spirit, which is the light, the one who is opening up God's great salvation, so great salvation which we mentioned this morning, is the one that is searching deep down into the recesses of your heart. That constraining spirit which after possibly a gospel meeting you felt a strange movement that you ought to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, or it may be in some other way, maybe the removal of some loved one, or maybe in the quietness of your time alone the Spirit of God moved upon you, the all-searching eye of God moved upon you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And like this lighted candle is seeking you out from amongst that, from that lost condition that you're in. As I said tonight, you might not even be conscious that you're lost. But the Bible says, you're lost. My friend, we find there the Holy Spirit searching out, possibly in this meeting this evening, for one lost person. Could that be you? And then the last thing this evening is the lost son. The lost son. Here, this young boy, we can see him, type of our youth today, fortunately. He had been growing up into a home, apparently, a godly home. He'd been moving out on the outside, and he thought that the grass was greener on the other side. And so he said to his father, "Look, father," the custom was at that day that the elder son would get the bigger portion and the younger son would get the other portion of his father's goods upon the death of his father. But he looked out and he says, "Boy, I don't know how long the old man is going to live. And look, dad, I better get my substance now. I want to, you know, have a little bit of life. I want to make life now." And so I believe they had a conference, and the mother and father would have sat down with him and tried to counsel him and say, "Well, don't you think you should stay a little longer?" And no, he says, "Dad, my mind is made up. I got to go." And there we can see the sad picture, as again we allow our imaginations. The Lord told the story. See that boy packing his bag, and he's bidding his mother farewell. He's bidding his dad farewell, and then finally he gives his mother that final kiss. And they watched him wending his way down the path. He goes. Then he goes through the gate. Then she watches as far. Then finally he's out of sight. To them he's lost. He's gone. Mother's heartbroken. He's gone. And if you were to study this portion in your leisure time, you'll find the number of things that this boy went out for. First, he wanted to have a good time. First, he wanted to have fellowship and companionship with the people of the world. And it would seem that he got all this when he went out with the money that his father had given him. But alas, our story goes on. As the Lord told the story, he says that he lost all things and his friends had deserted him. And where do we find him now? He's feeding swine. This was a very low condition to which this young man had fallen into. A Jewish boy, we believe, and now he has to be feeding swines. And not only is he feeding the swines, but the Bible says he was eating the husks that the swines of eaten left. That was how low he had gone. I want to suggest something to you this evening as we tell the story, that the Bible says he was a son. We often use this as a picture of the ungodly sinner. But I want to suggest to you this evening that he was a son. A son that had gone out into the far country. A son that had enjoyed the pleasure of a home life, and he had gone out. But even there out in the far country, he was still a son. Was he any less than a son? He might have been a dishonorable son. He might have been a disobedient son. But the fact still remains, he was a son. He was a son. You know, we have a sad picture here. First, the sheep is lost and is conscious of its lost condition. The coin was lost and is not conscious. But here is a son who was a son but went out. And may I suggest this evening that this is a picture of maybe a believer who is a son and has gone out into the far country. Why? Because they think the assembly has got too tight, and because of the pressures of the world, they think, well, I'll go and try it out there. And we see a sad picture of this boy out there, and he's feeding upon the husks that the swines have eaten up. And sometimes we speak of the backslider. And outside of the fellowship and love of Jesus Christ is an awful state to be in, feeding upon the husks of the swine, because that's all the world will offer. True enough, there's a glamour and glitter of the world, but then it will fade away. Like this young man found out to his sad dismay, and he sat down, the Bible says, when he came to the end of himself. When he came to the end of himself, he says, I will arise and will go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I have sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Forgive. For we saw a beautiful picture, don't we? I believe, again, our imagination, that every day that father was looking for the return of that boy. And the Bible says when he saw him yet afar off, he must have been looking for him, don't you think? That he could have seen him afar off. He says, when he yet saw him afar off, he ran and met him and put his arms around him and kissed him. And his son sought forgiveness. Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And then the father bid him to come in, and he says, bring the best robe, put it upon him, give him a good bath, put a ring upon his finger, and kill the fatted calf. You know, if you look into those things I've mentioned, that's what that boy went out into the country, to far country, to find. He wanted a ring which speaks of companionship, the friendships of the girls and what have you out there. Did he find it? No. It's when he came back home that he got the ring of fellowship. Clothes, he lost everything out there, but put on him the best robe. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to clothe you with his righteousness. And he wants to kill the fatted calf. He has so much in store for us that we'll never find out there. In closing, I want to bring to your attention a few things on this story too, as we close now. In the first story about the lost sheep, we saw a seeking Savior. Seeking the lost sheep. In the lost coin, we have the woman seeking with the light, the type of the Holy Spirit. But did you notice that in the case of that lost son, there was nobody seeking after him? Did you notice that? He never said anybody went after him. There's the seeking Savior for the lost sheep. There's a woman lighting a candle and looking for the lost coin, but no one looking for the boy that had gone astray. I want to suggest to you something this evening, that once the Spirit of God has brought home the truth of the gospel, and you have tasted and seen the goodness of Christ, and if you have gone out, there'll be nobody seeking. You must come to the Savior. You must come to the end of yourself and realize, because you know and you are a son of God, Oh, tonight, I wonder if there is somebody who is like a lost sheep here this evening. May I remind you that Jesus Christ, the lover of your soul, He loved you so much, and He's going after you. Beloved, at the place called Calvary, He laid down His life that He might redeem you. You know, the story is told of a beautiful Newfoundland dog that was trained to save the lives of hunters who would go hunting on snow-capped mountains sometimes. And as their trail would be covered over with the snow, and they'd be lost on the trail, and they couldn't find their way, this dog was trained, and he would go along the trail and smell out and find if there was a hunter or a path or a hiker that had lost his way and become sick and covered by snow. And year after year, as the snowfall would come, this great Newfoundland dog Bobby would find lost men. The story is told that on this occasion, man was lost, the hunter was lost. And he, laying beneath the snow, and this great dog, tracking out by his scent, came upon this man, fainted. And then as he cleared the snow from this man, he started to lick his face with his great big tongue and put back the warmth into his man. And as he did that, he gradually became conscious again. And then as this man looked up, for a moment he did not recognize this great dog. All that came to him was a great animal just about to pounce upon him, for he saw the big teeth and the eyes peering down at him, and gently he pulled from his belt his big hunting knife, and with a steady aim he struck it into Bobby. He fell dead. The story goes on to say that they built him a monument and says, Bobby lost his life saving so many persons. Oh, as I tell that story this evening, it might be moving to some of us. Oh, what a pity. But oh, friend, this evening, Jesus Christ lost his life saving not a lost hunter, but saving the entire world of sinners. No matter who they are, God loves the sinner, says the Bible. God so loved the world. Beloved, we see a holy God, a God of justice, who must punish sin. For he says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But oh yes, we see a God of mercy. And it's conjured that mercy, one of the great qualities of God, heard the cries of men and women that were in prison. And as mercy wended her way towards from whence those cries came, she came to the gate of the prison, and there was justice with its flaming sword barring the entrance of mercy to go in to save. And as mercy turned away weeping, alas, she wanted to go in so that mercy could help those that were in, barred by justice. She met love on the way,
Love says, mercy, why weepest thou?
And then mercy told the story. And love says, come with me. And they both journeyed back to the gate. And there was Justice with a flaming sword, requiring blood, for justice must be met. And then finally love made bare his bosom, and Justice plunged his sword within, and mercy was able to go in.
That, I say, is God's plan of your salvation. We see a just God, but yet we see a merciful God on the other hand. And in order that his mercy might be met out to you and I, a God of love in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son went to Calvary. There he made bare his bosom that he might open up the gate so that the whosoever will may come. So that as he could say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, this evening as God the Holy Spirit in tender love and mercy is pleading this evening, seeking out a lost one, will you come? And possibly you're here and you've trusted Jesus Christ, and so many things have happened. A lot of things have happened and they've gone astray, but make no mistake, God loves you. And he's waiting anxiously to give you the kiss of forgiveness. Will you come to him tonight? God, by his Spirit, do this. And trust that if you're here, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may you do it now, for he says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If he will hear my voice, harden not your heart. God grant it for his name's sake.
Let's just have one hymn in closing, number 396. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we encourage you to come on up after we have our closing prayer and speak to myself or Mr. Chambers or one of the men from the assembly. Or perhaps if you know the Lord and you're away from him, perhaps you'd like to speak to someone for counseling also. Number 396.